Hey everyone, I know you've heard me speak about microdosing and how much I love it. And I'm talking about microdosing THC. I love it. And that's why I love our sponsor, microdose.com. Microdose gummies are incredible. They deliver perfect entry-level doses of THC that help you feel just the right amount of good. And when I mean just the right amount of good, I mean in so many situations. Anxiety, sleep, focus, pain, relaxation. There are so many different strains and they're really helpful. And I have recommended microdose.com to so many people. And you know what they say to me? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Don't be afraid of microdosing. Go to microdose.com and you'll learn all about microdosing THC. These gummies feel amazing. They taste amazing. I have used them to get me into the zone I need to write. I've used them at night after a stressful day or a stressful show to relax. I have also said to family members, please take a gummy right now. And they've said, oh, good idea. So check it out. Check it out because they're fantastic. And I'm not like a big weed person. I mean, I used to be. And I do enjoy weed every now and then. But I love these gummies. And I take them with me everywhere. So check it out. Don't be afraid. They're all natural. They're fantastic. And you deserve it. So what are you going to do? You're going to do something that is fantastic. You're going to get 30% off your first order. 30% off. That's a lot. Plus free shipping today at microdose.com. Use promo code JUDYGOLD, JUDYGOLD. It's available nationwide. They deliver it to your door. That is microdose.com. Promo code JUDYGOLD for 30% off and free shipping. Do it. Go to microdose.com. Promo code JUDYGOLD. You deserve it. You deserve it. And you know what else? You're welcome.
Well, I don't see the point in waiting any longer. So let's bring her out. The star attraction. The one you came to see. Ladies and gentlemen, the one, the only, Ms. Judy Gold.
Welcome, everyone. I'm very excited today. You know, I don't usually have young, hot men on my podcast.
I appreciate the compliment.
Yeah, you're young and hot, but I mean, I could be your grandmother. Well, no, probably not. Okay.
No.
But I feel like the Jew Bell is going to be extra fucking, I'm going to do a few in the beginning just to get it over with.
Get a good start going.
Here's the thing. People have been complaining about, like, I've been getting, oh, I love your podcast. You should get rid of the Jew Bell. And it's like, go fuck yourself. Okay. Anyway, everyone, you're not going to believe who I have on my podcast. You're not going to fucking believe it. Okay. I don't know if you watch Never Have I Ever, which is a show on Netflix, which is fucking awesome. Jaron Lewison, who plays Ben Gross,
yes,
on the show. Is my guest today. Like, I have a hot young guest, people. We went from Dr. Katz last week to Jaron Lewis. I'm like, this is my life.
Hey, that's a diverse bunch. I mean, I know. The Dr. Katz stuff is awesome too. Come on.
Yeah. Jaron, I am fascinated by you. I'm not usually fascinated by young people, but you're like, what the fuck genes do you have?
It's all the Jewish genes. I just got to do everything.
And I love that you're a proud Jew. Like, you're a proud Jew. You're not like
Absolutely.
An asshole Jew. You're not
I'm
an asshole
a big
Jew.
Proud Jew. Big proud
yeah,
Jew.
Yeah, me too. I'm a proud Jew. And everyone's like, okay, you're too Jewish. You're too Jewish. You know, all right. So let's start at the very beginning.
Absolutely.
At the very good place to start. Okay.
Oh, okay, you can sing too. I can.
I know.
That's awesome.
Oh, shut up. Look what the fuck you can do. I'm so sick of you. So you were born in 2000, December 9th.
That is correct.
You have an older sister, Michaela.
I do, yep.
Now, do you have two brothers as well?
I do not have two brothers.
And I
I don't know where that. I know. So I didn't think you did. I didn't think you did, but I did read that. And I was like, I'm going to ask him because I don't think he does. Because you put an Instagram photo up of my favorite person. And I was like, if his sister, Michaela, is his favorite person, then his two fake brothers are going to be pissed off.
Yeah, they're going to be really pissed at me. Yeah. Luckily, I don't have two fake brothers, but my older sister is 4 years older than me, Michaela. She is my favorite person. That is true.
And she's in law school.
She's in law school. Yeah. She just finished her first year of law school. She's got two left. We're very, very proud of her. She's going to do amazing things.
All right. This is what I need to do.
Yeah.
I need to just touch your parents. I just need to touch them.
You just metaphorically reach out there. They're going to be listening too. They're going to be hearing every single
part of this podcast. I just got to say, I don't know what the fuck you guys did, Jason and Lauren. Like, what the fuck? I mean, like, anyway. All right. So you're from Dallas, correct?
That is correct. Yes.
I mean, what is that with the Jews? And there are a lot of Jews in Dallas.
Yeah, we've got a ton of Jews in Dallas. I actually grew up, I'm sure you were going to mention this, but I grew up going to a conservative Jewish day school in Dallas.
Where your mother was the kindergarten teacher.
She was
Lauren,
a teacher.
Lauren Bernstein. Yeah,
that's right. And now she actually is working at a law firm. She does. Yeah. So after she taught, she went to go work there. She's been working there for a little while now. And that's, yeah, being Jewish in Dallas, we've got a good population. I would
yeah,
say.
I've been there. And I performed there, I think here's the thing about the New York Jews versus the Dallas Jews. The jewelry is fucking ridiculous in Dallas.
Everything's bigger in Texas.
Yeah, it's so incredible. Like, it is like, wow, you are Southern and you are Jewish. Like, it's like...
It's a cool mixture of identities. It's a complex...
But you don't have an accent. You don't have an accent.
I can do one if you want.
All right, do it.
Yeah, so basically growing up in Texas, you know, I could hear everybody. Yeah,
I can't. I can't.
I'm telling the truth. I have a lot... trying to do a New York accent, of which my grandparents on my mother's side are from New York, and I have family still in Long Island and in that area, and I can't do the New York accent as well as I can do the Southern accent. I have so much more trouble, but I hear them talk all the time and I still can't figure it out.
So your mother grew up on the East Coast, right? Or
no, my mom actually was born in Dallas. My grandparents moved from New York when they were young, and my mom was born here. And then my dad, she met in college, and my mom was like, I'm not leaving Texas. So then my sister and I were both born in Dallas, in Texas, and that's where
I grew up. So where is your father? Where did your father grow up?
Skokie, Illinois.
Oh, yeah, baby. Jew. A lot of Holocaust survivors in Skokie. And yeah, that's where the march was. Yeah, there was a march for the ACLU. So there was a march. The Nazis were going to march through Skokie. Was it in the 80s or the 70s? Yeah. And the ACLU defended, and it was a Jewish guy, defended their right to march. They ended up not marching, but it was a big free speech thing. But yeah, Skokie's, I've performed there. I've performed in Skokie.
Really?
Yes.
I love Skokie. My grandparents are still there, and I love being there. I think it's such a cute little town, and the people are so nice, and the food is also really great. It's a little bit different than Texas, but I also love it.
Right, because it's Chicago.
Yeah, I love the corned beef is unbelievable. Yeah. It's hard to get good corned beef in Texas. That's my one gripe.
So have you ever spent any time in New York?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Oh, okay. I mean, anytime there's a bar mitzvah or bat mitzvah of an extended family member, it's usually in New York, weddings, whatever. We will go travel there and spend time with the family.
Why did your grandparents move to Dallas?
I don't honestly know the answer to that. I just think that they ended up moving. I don't know if we had family here before or how they ended up getting here, but they've been here for, I mean, a long time, like probably around 50 years, I would say, or close to that, maybe.
Wow.
I don't know if I just aged my grandparents. If I did, I'm so sorry.
Please, they don't fucking care.
yeah, they've been here for a long time. My grandfather was a doctor. Absolutely the bell.
What kind?
he was just a general family practitioner. He was just helping people for years and years. He retired I want to say couple of years ago. It's definitely been a little bit, but yeah, he was a doctor and they've been here for a while.
So you got to grow up with your grandparents, which is so awesome.
Yeah, they've lived, I mean, probably 5-10 minutes away from me my whole life. And then my dad's parents are in Skokie and we go visit them, or they come visit us at least once a year if we can. Everybody, it's so fun.
All right, so they have New York accents, your grandparents.
Yeah, they definitely do.
And you can't do it.
No, some words I can, but sometimes it ends up sounding like it's from Boston. And then I like am in Good Will Hunting with Matt Damon, which I would love to do, but it's just not quite right. And I'm still working on it. I'm trying to figure it out.
Oh my God. Do you think I have an accent?
I can hear it. Yeah. But I also am in tune to try to hear it.
I'm like that too. I'm very auditory. Yeah.
Yeah. I love it.
But you know, like when I went on the road as a comic, when I would go to places and they would say, "Oh, she's too New York," that meant she's too Jewish. Like that was the anti-Semitic, not, you know, way of saying, "Oh yeah, well she's too New York." Okay, so you have an older sister, Michaela. You have your parents, your father. Your mother's a teacher. I think your father works in swag. Is that correct or
Yeah, no? Yeah, he does promotion.
Aren't I good with my...
That was really good research. Yeah, that was
whoa!
yeah,
And you went to a conservative... Now, people don't understand the non-Jews, that when you say conservative day school, that doesn't mean orthodox. Like it means... conservative, we're in the middle.
Yeah, you're in the middle for sure. And I was definitely raised a bit more reformed. I'm not super religious in general. I love the cultural identity of being Jewish. Same. I love the Jewish community. And that was a big thing for my parents sending me to Jewish day school. But it did have a lot of religious components at that school. I mean, the education also was excellent. It was it was really rigorous. It was really, it set me up for success. It really did. I loved going to school there. It was really small, which was good and bad in different ways. But
yeah, but I mean, that's it was key. You get more attention.
Kids in my grade. Yeah, I definitely did. But I grew up with the same kids for 14 years at that school. So you really grow up, you know everybody's families and their siblings and all that kind of stuff. So it was a good experience, I would say, growing up. And then I went to public high school in...
I know, we're not there yet.
Richardson. Yeah.
I know. Okay, I know everything about you. Okay. You had an improv group come and... visit the school, right? When you were like a young kid and you totally took to it. You totally took to it.
I did. I was like 5 years old and my mom was teaching at the time. So I was in the aftercare programs and they came and I don't even remember what games that they played, but like I was just so, so into it. Like I was first volunteer, like they couldn't get me to shut up.
Right.
And afterwards they had told my mom like, "Hey, you should really get him into this." But I cannot sing and I cannot dance and I've never been able to as much as my mother would like to say I can, because my Jewish mother thinks I can do everything.
Right.
But I eventually got into a local Dallas agent and that's kind of how I got my start.
So you get in the, and your sister doesn't give a shit, right? She's not into this
shit
at all.
Yeah, my sister was a cheerleader growing up, a competitive cheerleader.
Oh my God, are you
very
kidding?
Very athletic as well. She cheered in college, actually. Yeah, she's
I can't
she's
with
really
a Jewish cheer, a Jewish cheerleader to me be like, okay, go, try to
she's
win.
Crazy good.
If you don't win, it's fine,
it's
go.
Fine.
Good
your
job.
Best.
You
That's
tried.
All that matters.
You
That's
tried.
Right.
Did you have a tuna fish sandwich right before you start? You need to take a break.
You got to get fuel. That's right. Get some hydration,
competitive.
Some water.
Was she the only Jew on the competitive cheerleading team? That is so not Jewish. That is so
It's not
Jewish
at all. I don't know if she was. I feel like there's got to be one or two thrown in there, but it had to have been a strong
Are the
minority.
Mothers... Are the mothers really cunty, like in all those movies and everything?
No, I think I don't know. I was young, so I don't know that I really hung out. I just kind of like, screwed around like in the back playing on like some of the mats because I thought I was a gymnast too.
Right.
And I think that we ended up having some really nice friends that my mom, I think, still and my sister both keep in touch with. It was a pretty supportive group.
Right.
I mean, they're there all the time. They practice a crazy amount.
I know,
competitive
right?
cheerleading is such an intense sport.
And it's mental. It's mental.
Yeah.
Hey everyone, I love our sponsor, Fast Growing Trees. I don't know if you've noticed when we show the clips of the podcast that I have a new best friend in my office named Avi. And where did I get Avi? at Fast Growing Trees. Fast Growing Trees is the biggest online nursery in the United States with more than 10,000 different kinds of plants and over 2 million happy customers in the United States of America. And I am a happy customer. I love walking in this room and seeing my fig tree, Avi. I talk to Avi. I love it. It makes me happy. And you need plant life in your house. And I have another plant on my piano in the other room. I'm just telling you, it makes your home so much more of a home. So thank you to Fast Growing Trees. They have everything you could possibly want. They have fruit trees, they have palm trees, they have evergreens, they have houseplants, and so much more. And I'm in an apartment in New York, okay? I don't even have a yard outside. And it's changed my life. Do it. Go to Fast Growing Trees. And whatever you're interested in, they have it. They have the perfect fit for your climate, for your space. You can call them and ask them how to take care of your plants. They have so much information. And it's so easy to order online. Your plants are shipped directly to your door in 1 to 2 days. They have a 30-day Alive and Thrive guarantee. They have free plant consultation forever. Forever. And I have a new best friend, Avi. I love you, Avi. So do it. You don't need a yard. You don't need a lot of space. You just need to make your home a beautiful place. And that's where Fast Growing Trees comes in. This spring, Fast Growing Trees has the best deals online, up to half off on select plants and other deals. And listeners to our show get an additional 15% off their first purchase when using the code JUDYGOLD at checkout. JUDYGOLD at checkout. That's an additional 15% off at fastgrowingtrees.com using the code JUDYGOLD at checkout. Fastgrowingtrees.com, code JUDYGOLD. Offer is valid for a limited time. Terms and conditions may apply. Do it. You're welcome.
When you're six, you get on Barney.
Yeah.
Your name, Joshua. Wait, were you a Jew on Barney?
I don't know, but I feel like with the name, I'll give it to you.
Yeah. Don't you think?
Yeah, why not? I mean, we didn't really talk about it, but I mean, sure, why not, right?
Okay, I'm going to make a confession.
Yeah.
That when my kids were little, I used to watch Barney all the fucking time with them.
Really?
But this is pre you. Yeah. My older son's born in 96. But anyway.
Okay.
And I was obsessed with the kid who was disabled and had the hearing aids on his head and everything. I was like, I loved him. I don't remember what his name, but you know, Barney, it's so fucked up because you have to watch this shit when you're with your kids and you focus on the completely, oh my God, you're out of your fucking, like, it's so weird watching these shows. First of all, you're in Dallas, you go to a Jewish school and you're on Barney. I mean, like, who the fuck is that?
Well, you know, I'll tell you the reason why I actually ended up getting that audition. So I signed with this agent, right, when I was like 5 or 6. You want to know what my audition song was?
What?
I haven't told anybody this. Puff the Kosher Dragon. They were
Puff,
like, can you sing a
song? Kosher
and
I
learned that at school.
At school. So wait, do it.
I don't know. Okay.
Puff the Kosher Dragon doesn't eat bacon.
Oh, I love
that. He has never had a piece of shrimp. And he, all right, go ahead.
Okay. Yeah. Well, that was impressive. I didn't know the rest of the words. I just knew the beginning.
I made it up.
Oh, wow. Don't tell anybody, but you should publish that.
Yeah.
That's how I ended up getting on Barney. And originally I started out as an extra because at the time you had to be at a like third or fourth grade reading level. And I was 6, I think, when I first did it. So I didn't have the fluency that I needed in order to be a series regular because it's a lot of lines. You don't really realize that, but I mean, it's probably, you know, 50 something pages per episode. And if you're a series regular at 6 years old, like, you've got to have, and it shoots quick. Like, it's probably in a matter of 5 days. So you've got to have that done before you start. So at, I think it was 8, I got that first starring little role. And then I did a couple of episodes, different variety of, like, I think there was one about Venice and one about Kenya and all sorts of like different places that Barney ends up going, air quotes.
Right.
And that was the start.
Did you ever see Gypsy, the musical Gypsy?
You're
such a baby. Oh my God. You have to. So there's this Gypsy is, is classic. It's a classic musical, and it was a movie too. But Gypsy Rose Lee was a stage mother, and she was always pushing her her daughter Rose. And I don't know. I've been on so many auditions. I see parents with their kids, and I want to go give the fucking kid a childhood. And they're pushing the kid, and the kid's like, "Shut the fuck up!" You know, like when you go on auditions, right?
Yeah.
As a kid, and you're in the waiting room, you can tell. You can totally tell
who does and who doesn't want to be there.
Right. Which kids are being forced by their parents and which kids are like, I want to do this. And it's so fucking sad.
Isn't it? I was lucky that I was like, my mom was never the one who was like, hey, want to do it. I was like, mom, this is it. Like, this is what I want to do the rest of my life. Like, I don't want to be an astronaut. I don't want to be a football player. Like, I want to do this forever. And my mom was like, both my parents were like, all right, like, we don't know anything about this, but I guess we'll figure it out as we go.
Oh,
and
that's my what God, they ended up I doing. Love them.
They're so supportive, both my parents. And then my sister, honestly, would fight everybody for being my biggest fan. I mean, she's a cheerleader, you know? She's, in every sense of the word, the biggest supporter.
I can't take it. This is vomitocious, okay, this family. Okay, so when you started getting the scripts.
Yeah.
So you're in school being like a normal kid, right? Yeah. And then... But it's a Jewish school, so it's even longer because you have to learn Hebrew and all that crap, right?
Yeah.
And then is your mother helping you with all your like lines? And do you miss a lot of school? Do you have to get a tutor? Like, how does it?
Yeah. Yeah, good question. So basically what happens is once you book Barney, and I think it's the same pretty much for every child actor anywhere, you get like an on-set tutor. Right. So you have built-in class time. Like, while you're not technically shooting, you are clocked in and you have to bank these school hours. So you sit there for like 2 hours, you go and do school, and they have a teacher there that basically helps you at whatever level you're at, from if you're first, second, third, fourth grade, whatever, all the way up to until you graduate high school or get your like GED equivalent. And when I was doing Barney, my mom would help me at night with my lines and learning. But I would honestly, I'm a big time management person, and I have been since I was a kid. And I would always get my lines done at least a week or two early. Cause I was like, I want to go in there. Oh yeah. I want to go in there and I want to do the best job. I don't want to ever forget my lines. I want to know everything. So 2 weeks before we'd even start, I would have the whole thing ready to rock. And my mom would practice with me, and I'm sure she got tired of it. Cause I'd be like, mom, let's practice again. She'd be like, you know it. And I'd be like, again. I was so obsessed with it. I still am. Yeah.
That is crazy.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I love it.
You're not a boy. You're not a regular boy, because like, my kids are like, yeah, no, I'll do it. Like, all right, I'm going to tell you a story. You're going to fucking love this. Okay. This is exactly my kid's time management. So did you go to Jewish sleepaway camp?
Not Jewish sleepaway camp, but did go to sleepaway camp 3 weeks. Okay.
That's it. Was it all Jewy, even though it wasn't Jewy?
It was the Jew term. I will give you that. Yeah. It was all the Jews went second term. I went to Camp Champions in Marble Falls, Texas, about 4 hours from Dallas, but it was like my favorite thing in the summer.
Yeah. So my kids go for like 7 weeks. Okay.
Yep.
8 weeks. They did. Anyway. So I have Henry, who's 24, and Ben, who's 19. Okay. So Henry, I said to him, you have to bring the recycling down. Like, because they're fucking slobs and they don't do anything. And I live in an apartment. So like, you have to bring the recycling down to the basement, right?
Right, okay.
So I was like, Henry, I need you to bring all the newspapers down. I need you, bring the recycling down. And he's like, I'm gonna do it. And it's like, every day. And you have to fight, like, do I do it? Or that's not the right message, So I'm nudging. And finally, I come in and the recycling's gone, and I'm like, oh, thank God.
Yeah.
So we pack up for camp. He goes away to camp for 7 weeks.
Okay.
7.5 weeks. Comes home. We unpack his bag. I open the drawer of his dresser.
You're kidding.
And there's the recycling.
No way.
Yes. That's how fucking lazy. Like, he brought it to the back of the apartment. But he couldn't, like that. I go, are you fucking, newspapers?
Slightly genius though, to take it all the way there, keep it for those 7 weeks. And bring it all the way home? That had to have crossed.
No, no, he didn't bring it home. He left it in his dresser. It was here the whole time.
He thought you'd never find it.
I didn't. I wouldn't have found it if I didn't have to open his drawers to put his clothes back. The unpacking. Yeah, he left it in that fucking dresser. Bottom of that dresser.
I don't think I was that bad as a kid, but I did I didn't like putting my shit away either. My mom used to, leave my socks. I lift my socks around everywhere. Like, you would just find my socks when I was a kid. And my mom got so fed up one day that she was just like, okay, she took my, I was like, where are all my socks? They're gone. And she was like, when you start putting away your socks, then you can have them back. I used to have to pay, I think it was $1 per sock to get them back.
Wow.
So then I learned.
Well, it's a good thing you had a job. Yeah.
I know. I not to leave my socks out. So then I eventually had spent my entire life savings, which was $20 at the time. Right. On my socks. And my mom, to this day, I still know not to leave my socks out.
Okay, that's fucking crazy. Okay. So you're there at the Jewish day school. You get bar mitzvahed.
Absolutely.
How was that?
I loved it.
What was your speech about? Go ahead.
Well, my Hebrew was pretty solid. So the bar mitzvah itself, everybody kind of stresses out about that.
Yeah.
Because I never had to go to Sunday school. Because Hebrew was taught in my school. So my Torah portion was not that difficult because I knew exactly what I was saying. And it really wasn't that hard. And I had a great tutor. And
what was your Torah portion? Do you remember?
Oh my God. I don't know. I should so know. And I don't think I do.
Oh my God.
Maybe it was Vaishlach. Does that sound right?
I don't know.
That might be complete. My Sab is going to be pissed if that's wrong. He would know. He would be screaming it probably somewhere right now.
All right. So what about your speech? Did you give a speech? You know how they always I want to thank my rabbi.
Yeah, I definitely did.
My portion today. Yeah.
Yeah. I think I don't even remember what the speech was about. I think it was just something about I don't know what I related it to. It was some mitzvah and it was a good speech. The rabbi helped me write it. I think he probably did most of it. Right. I just did the thank yous and he probably helped me with more of the, I wasn't super into the, entirety of the morality behind the portions and all that stuff. I was just like, all right, let me have the party and let me read a little bit and be done.
Did you have a huge party?
Oh, absolutely. Hell yeah, I did. Yeah.
Yeah. You're lucky.
It wasn't massive, but I mean, I had a great time. It was on this really cool rooftop. I had all of my friends. I had some acting friends that were there and it was their first bar mitzvah. So that was lovely. Yeah, I got to take them. They were like, this is awesome. And I was like, I know. And then all of my Jewish friends, of course, came. Some of my family flew in from New York. It was really sweet. It was a really lovely time. I actually did a MTV takeover recently for Jewish American Heritage Month. And I showed pictures from my bar mitzvah book talking about my bar mitzvah. And I still have my tallit from my bar mitzvah. And I wore my tefillin, but my grandfather, my saba, gave me his tefillin from his bar mitzvah that I wore.
Oh my God, I'm gonna cry.
I have that too. I still have that. Yeah, I know.
You're so chewy. I love you.
Oh yeah.
Hey everybody, if you know me, you know I love my liquid IV and I love giving it to people and telling people about it. And it's part of my everyday life. I keep hydrated with liquid IV. I put it in my water bottle. Well, I have this one water bottle that I use only for liquid IV. And I put lots of ice in it and cold water because I like it very cold. And it keeps me hydrated and it's delicious. So thank you, Liquid IV. And I have to tell you, I've now given it to my son's girlfriend because, they go out partying. You know what I'm talking about. And it has helped her immensely with her dehydration. That it's great for those nights where you're going to be having a few drinks. It's delicious. It comes in pear, white peach, grape, lemon lime. Also, there's a lemon ginger one that is great that has a little caffeine. I just love Liquid IV. And you need to keep hydrated. It's very important. It affects you on so many levels. So do yourself a favor. Keep hydrated in the best way possible. Some people Hydrate to live. Some people live to hydrate. I think I live to hydrate. Liquid IV quenches your thirst faster than water alone. It has 3 times the electrolytes of leading sports drinks, 8 vitamins and nutrients for everyday wellness. And this is true. They have a sugar-free stick. They have Liquid IV sugar-free that Elisa, my lover, loves. I don't use the sugar-free. Whatever. But it's also been great for my traveling because I get very dehydrated on my airplane flights. So please, you've heard me say this multiple times. Go get your Liquid IV. You have to keep hydrated. It's very important. So however you hydrate, grab your Liquid IV hydration multiplier sugar-free in bulk nationwide at Costco or get 20% off your first order when you go to liquidiv.com and use code JUDYGOLD at checkout. That's 20% off your first order when you shop Better Hydration today using promo code JUDYGOLD, J-U-D-Y-G-O-L-D, at liquidiv.com. You're welcome.
Were you treated differently at school? Like, oh, there's Sharon and blah, 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 blah.
You know, you would think so, but to be honest, because I had grown up with those friends for my entire life since I literally was a baby and right. couldn't speak, it was just like, oh yeah, Jaron does acting. That's cool. Right. He's gone for 2 months. He'll come back later.
Right, right.
And every time I would come back, my friends were always so supportive. If I ever did anything, you know, they would be like, oh, when can I see it or what can I do? But even to this day, I'm still in touch with my friends from Jewish day school. I literally saw them like a week or two ago when we were all back in Texas for one of their birthdays. We all Aww. Still are together and they're so supportive of me and Never Have I Ever, which I'm sure we'll get into later, and which is my show now. But you know, they watch it and they're supportive, but it's still, I'm just Jaron they grew up with. They still treat me the exact same, like I'm a normal guy, which I am.
Was it weird leaving for like 2 months? Like, did you ever feel like you missed out on anything or?
A little bit sometimes, like, because you know, from auditioning, like pilot season, which for your viewers who don't know, like pilot season used to be when all of these pilots were greenlit and you would try to film them
January, like February, March.
Yeah, exactly. So I would go out usually like beginning of February into March.
Yeah.
And I would go audition from like fifth to like eighth grade. So I'd be gone for about 2 months.
Wow.
And my school was so great because they would send me my work. This was like obviously pre-COVID, pre-Zoom, right, pre-everything. Zoom,
yeah.
But they figured it out and I would do my work. And I, because I also have been a learner my entire life and I am obsessed with my academics and I still am in college. And I always make sure to have my work done.
Right.
And my friends, when I would come back, like it would be different having to then sit in the classroom for 8 hours or whatever it was, because I was slightly self-paced when I was like doing my auditions and all that kind of stuff.
Right. But you kind of have to be like that.
Yeah. Yeah. But the teachers were so kind and so willing to help me. And it was very supportive of like my dreams and of like if my classmates had endeavors that they wanted to try to venture into. It was a very, very supportive environment. They wanted us to be successful.
You know, it's interesting because you had to make so many concessions. I think that's probably why you're so good at time management, because you've had to figure it out. Okay, I have this block of time. What am I going to do with it? You know, because I'm not going to have this much time, you know.
Okay. Yeah, I want to always make the most of everything. That's probably the biggest deal.
So you went to Pierce High School.
I did.
You went to a regular high school.
Regular high school.
Okay. What the fuck? You were captain of the varsity football team? Like, what the fuck?
Yeah,
what the fuck? You don't get to be a fucking TV star and captain of the football team. It doesn't happen.
So, yeah, I mean, I, number one, have been obsessed with football my entire life. Not super Jewish of me. I know,
very not Jewish.
Which is a bit more of the Jewish kind of sport, I would say.
My son plays Division I basketball.
Oh, that's incredible. Yeah. I wish he can give me some pointers. I'm awful. I'm like god awful. I don't even know how to dribble. But because I was super short and everybody was too tall and I was the tiny little Jewish kid and I could never shoot. And I was like, screw this, I'm out of here. So I started playing football and I was also tremendously undersized for that. But in Texas, football is huge. It's like a second religion. I'm Jewish and then I also am in the football religion.
Right.
Like it was a big deal and it still is. And I was obsessed with it growing up. I started playing tackle football when I was in second grade.
What is wrong with your mother? This is not.
So weirdly, my Jewish mother, was like, yeah, go play football.
No way.
The Texas girl. My dad, however, was like, are you crazy?
Right, right.
This is violent. This is terrible. But he eventually got won over and my mom convinced him because I was so obsessed with it and still am to this day. And in high school, I was like, you know what? I'm going to try out for the team and I'm going to work my way up and I'm going to make it. Everybody always was like, oh, he's the undersized, small little Jewish kid. Like, no way he's going to be any good.
Right.
But I worked really, really hard and I was really fast. And I was really smart on the field. I studied
right, you have a good IQ. Right,
absolutely. Yeah, yeah. And I studied more than everybody. Like I would sit and watch film by myself for hours or with coaches, like private lessons, whatever, in order to make sure that I, you know, I may be able to be kind of outmaneuvered physically on the field sometimes, but I'm not going to be outwitted. And that's how I ended up starting my senior year. And I was a good player. Like I started the entire season. I missed one game because I broke my thumb. And then I played the rest of the season with a cast. And it was just like, yeah, it was huge. I loved football. I loved the community. I loved the brotherhood of playing with all of those guys. And I loved that people underestimated me. And then I was able to go in and prove everybody wrong when I would make a big tackle or I'd break up a pass because I played cornerback, which guards the receivers if people aren't familiar into football. But it was the best. Yeah.
Were you ever concussed?
The only concussion I've ever had was when I played indoor soccer. I played 2 years up and it was a summer league and I was on a breakaway and I was in second grade. So I had to have been like 3 feet tall. And there was like some 5'8" like pubescent, like man child who was probably 13 in fourth grade.
Right.
And he ended up like shoulder checking me into the boards. And that was the only concussion I ever got. But I did have some other injuries when I played football.
Right. It's not safe for a Jew.
Yeah. But like, I don't regret any. I broke my collarbone twice playing football. And then I fractured a little bit of my back. And it was
and your mother wasn't like, oh my God, I can't.
She was. She absolutely was. She was like, oh my God, this is horrible. But
and then let you go back and do it.
Yeah. You couldn't stop me. I loved it too much. It wasn't going to happen.
Were you
the only, keep going.
Were you the only J on the team?
At one time, yes. But there was like one or two where like, you know, they do the prayer before the games.
Yeah.
And I would just, you know, silently say the Shema. It worked for me though. So, it was a solid experience.
Oh my God, I love you so much. Ben on his teams, you know, they do the Lord's Prayer or whatever. Yep. And I'm like, I get so annoyed because I'm like, you know, and people are like, well, but it's like when I grew up, my neighbors were Catholic. There were a lot of Jews in my area, a lot of Italian Catholics. And like, no one cared. No one did that. No one, it wasn't outwardly, you know, you're this and I'm that. And I don't know. I feel like
it wasn't a huge thing what I played. It was just like we did it before we went out to play, just because our coach was a bit religious and he was always very respectful about it. He was like, hey, you've got it. Oh yeah. He was like, okay. Hey, you know, I know this isn't what you do. And if you want to say something in front of the team, that's cool. He gave me that option. I was like, no, I'm good. You guys do your thing. I'll say my little private prayers. I appreciate it. And he was always really understanding about it. So it never made me feel uncomfortable or weird.
Okay. So you were captain of the football team.
Yeah.
And you played William Shakespeare and Shakespeare in Love. Like,
I did. Okay.
Do you realize that this is not normal? Like, do you realize this is not a normal childhood?
Well, you know what's wild about that?
Like, you get one thing. You don't get all these things.
So almost every athlete at the high school I went to that played football or sometimes baseball, we all did theater.
Right.
We all
of you?
No. Yeah, it was, I mean, not all of us, but a ton of us. Like, any time that there was a boy in a play or a musical that was dancing or, like, had his shirt off in the play or whatever, it was an athlete. Every time. The coaches would come and see us play. Like,
no one was, like, faggot or anything like that.
No, it was like, you do theater. Like, oh, you're an athlete? Like, you got to go do theater. Our theater teacher, Miss Biddle, my school
Miss also Biddle.
She's lovely. Also, Ding. Yeah. Miss Biddle.
Oh, wait.
And there it is. She's the best. And our school wound up it's not a performing arts school, but we wound up being nationally known for theater. We did the pilot premiere of Heathers, which I wasn't in.
Oh my God.
I know. The high school edition. They went to nationals for it. That was my freshman year, I think. my sophomore year, and then two years later, we ended up going to nationals for Shakespeare in Love, which was a play of which I did play William Shakespeare. It was my first lead in any play musical I'd ever done because I couldn't sing. So I never got parts in the musical, but this was a play. So that I was able to do.
Wow. That's fucking crazy.
Yeah.
I grew up in the 70s in New Jersey, and everyone was like, you were either, you know, a burnout, a jock, you know, in the theater group, a band, we used to call them band fags. And it's I don't know. It's just fascinating. Like, you fascinate me that
it was pretty polarized, but I think that now, like, the emphasis, at least in applying for college, like when I talk to college counselors and stuff, they want you to be really diverse and they want you to have your spheres intermixing and to dip your toe into so many different wells. And I think that now college kids have done that in high school. It's like, you got to do other things. Otherwise, you're not going to get into college.
You know what? It's so weird because it's so hard to get into college now. Like, it's really hard, harder. Okay. So during your high school years, you were also working, right? Because you did a movie with Adam Sandler. So you were going back and forth then too. Like, were you 100% at your high school?
A little bit. The high school was a bit harder to miss. That they weren't as accommodating. I mean, they were still really great, but I got lucky. I don't know if it's lucky, but I wasn't really shooting as much when I was in high school. And the movies that I did do were usually in the summer. I guess I just got lucky that, like, they were just filming in the summer. Like, I did Tag, where I played a younger version of Ed Helms's character, Hoagie, in Tag. And that was in the summer in Atlanta before I think I started, maybe it was my sophomore or junior year. So I got lucky for that. So I didn't miss a ton. I wasn't able to go out for pilot season. I was still auditioning, but during high school is really when I trained the hardest. I mean, I was taking classes as much as I could. I also ended up working at the acting studio where I did my training, which is called Catherine Sullivan's Acting for Film. It's in Louisville. And that's how I got my training and a lot of my opportunities. So I really just, like, tried to live there. Like, I was spending so much time there.
Is there, you know, like, a plethora of acting classes in that? Like, is it
there's really one
community?
Large,
yeah.
It's one teacher, really. It's Catherine Sullivan who has that studio. And that's pretty much where everybody goes. Crazy, actually, this is circling back, but Barney, so Selena Gomez, Demi Lovato, both on Barney, right?
Right.
Both also taught by this acting coach, Catherine Sullivan.
No way.
I ended up taking from, and she still teaches and she's still got tons of clients that she's churning out, and she's really excellent. And that's kind
maybe
of how
I
we all
come,
got trained.
Maybe I should go to Dallas and do that.
You can do a seminar. She would so love that.
Like, oh my God. I would love
like
that.
Wait, she brings in like experts. You can so share your expert. I would have taken the shit out of that. Oh my God.
I would love that. But was it all kids in her?
She started doing adults. I feel like 10 years or maybe more. So there is an adult class, and I was coaching young actors, and I also ended up coaching adults. Yeah, I was an acting coach during high school from 16, 17 to 18. I was coaching other actors on their scene work, and we used to have curriculum, and we still do there. And when I was working there, I would coach and then also take classes on like a different night.
Okay, so let's review. We're going to just review for the listeners. You're acting coach. You're taking acting classes. You're the captain of the football team. You're doing films. You're in the play in high school. And you are getting straight A's.
Yes. That is all true.
What the fuck? What the fuck? What? I can't take it.
Yeah, I just wanted to do everything, to be honest. Okay, I guess going from a small school, I was like, oh, there's sports. Like, let me try powerlifting.
And
too.
You
like,
never
I'm
did
doing that.
You never did, like, you never hung out with the burnouts and did and smoked pot and drank.
That just wasn't as enticing to me. I just wanted to go accomplish everything that I could, which, you know, obviously.
Where does
that
come from?
I think it's intrinsically motivated. I don't know. My parents also are not pushy, like, put no pressure on me. Obviously, they're like, hey, do your best. Like, that's always my parents' motto is, did you do your best? If you don't do your best or you didn't really try and give it your all, then they're disappointed. But if I tried my best and got a C in math, they'd be like, well, congrats on your C. You tried. Right. What else can you do? And, but I always just have wanted to do as well as I could. And for me, that meant 110% in every possible thing.
Okay. I really need to, I think your parents should give parenting classes. You should open a parenting studio. Okay.
I'm going to let them know that you said that.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for listening to part one of Kill Me Now with Jaron Lewison. How adorable is he? Kill Me Now is produced by Laura Vogel, edited by Colin Schmeling. This podcast would not be possible without the help and dedication of Brittany Jo Sowards. If you like the show, I say this every week, just subscribe, just leave a 5-star review, please, please, please. Then it helps more people find this podcast, and then I become more well-known, and, you know, everyone will want to do my podcast. So that's why, that's how we all feed into each other. Go to my website, judygold.com, buy my book. Yes, I can say that. When they come for the comedians, we're all in trouble. Download my albums, see where I'm performing, read stuff people wrote about me, read stuff I wrote. Just go to my website. You have nothing else to do. And then, you know, follow me on Twitter and Instagram. I'm at Judy Gold, J-E-W-D-Y, G-O-L-D, because I'm Jewish. My website is Judy Gold Regular, J-U-D-Y-G-O-L-D.com, you know, because I'm a little bit normal. And that's all. I hope you're all vaccinated. I hope you're enjoying the summer. And I hope everyone stays healthy, keeps laughing. And I can't thank you enough for listening. I love all, each one of you individually like you have no idea. And as we always say, so long.
Don't forget to tune in next week to Just Kill Me Now.
It's Just Kill Me.
Oh. Don't forget to turn for part two on Just Kill Me.
No, it's not. It's just
Kill Me.
No. No,
Judy Gold's Just Kill Me.
Just Kill Me Now.
Just Kill Me Now.